Hello, and welcome to the Steve Barclay Ponders Out Loud podcast. Instructional coaches and leaders create the environment that supports teachers to continually imagine, grow, and achieve. They model an excitement for learning that teachers in turn model for students. This podcast is dedicated to promoting the important aspects of instructional leadership. Thanks for listening. I'm thrilled you're here. What's important to know about kids in sports? Joining us today is Linda Flanagan, parent, high school cross country coach, and author of the book, Taking Back the Game, How Money and Mania Are Ruining Kids' Sports and Why It Matters. As a grandparent of a middle school and a high school athlete, I'm personally interested in listening to her thoughts. Welcome, Linda.
Thanks for having me. I'm happy to be here.
I'm wondering if we can start with a little information on your background. As I was reading about you, I'm wondering about your own youth in sports, and then the coaching experiencing, and then the parenting of kids in sports.
Yes.
You can give us the history there.
Yes. Well, when I grew up, sports, it was an entirely different universe. I played tennis and softball growing up. And they were all sort of local, low key, cheap. You know, my mother and I used to go down to the public courts in town and hit the ball around, and you know, it's just the cost of a racket. And then I took up running in high school on my own, and that's kind of has been my main athletic pursuit and continues to this day. But it was extraordinarily different. And my parents were supportive and encouraging, I would say, but they weren't invested in my, either financially or emotionally, in my athletic endeavors. I'm also the mother of three. And so I've experienced youth sports on the next generation of it and seen how it has changed so much and how serious it's become and how incredibly important it all seems for children, for, you know, really for children, not kids, for elementary school children. And I've experienced it also as a coach of high school kids and seen how it even seems even more terribly vital that they do well in high school in a way that it was not the case when I was growing up.
The expense factor of sports, I'm guessing you kind of trace some of the history of that.
Yes. Well, I have an entire chapter on how sports have changed. And one of the principal areas of contrast between today and, you know, 30 or 40 years ago is money. And, you know, youth sports are a giant industry now. It's a $19 billion industry. And that has happened over the years, over the last few decades, because of a withdrawal of public funding for parks and recreation facilities, and then combined with private teams and leagues stepping in to fill the void, an influx of girls participating after the passage and then enforcement of Title IX, and various other developments that I don't want to go into it too much, but other developments like the Wide World Sports Complex that triggered the beginning of the sports travel industry.
Yeah.
So for all of these reasons, now money is youth sports are a class-based system. And to play seriously, you know, the assumption is that you need to spend a lot of money.
I serve as a sponsor for my granddaughter to be a swimmer. I describe it as I'm her sponsor. You know, when I look at the impact that her participation takes, just from a dollar's standpoint on a young family, I have to say it's how I got my education.
Oh yeah, that's how you learned how. Yes, yeah, how I mean, nutty it is.
Yeah, I mean, you do the travel competition, and now you need a hotel room overnight and meals, and so. And if you taking the family.
Yes.
It adds up quickly. And what you think of swimming, so all you got to do is go to the pool.
I know.
It's like how you were describing the tennis courts. That's what I thought it was when she was going to be a swimmer.
There's many more expenses than you'd ever anticipate.
Yeah.
And, more and more opportunities. And I always want to say that those who are making money off this, it's not that as if they're malevolent people, but they see they've discovered a market and there's a hunger for it among parents to give their kids every advantage. And so they're willing to pay up. And, whether it's new equipment every year, they need a new cleats or new, backpack with the team logo. There's always more to buy. And it's easy to fall prey to that when you're a parent.
Yeah. In your research, what did you uncover about youth sports that you think many of us as parents may not be aware of and we should be aware of?
Yeah. Okay. Well, first of all, the giant industry. I think many parents don't realize that there are a lot of individuals who are profiting off your family. It's always something to keep in mind, to be a little skeptical about some of the claims. Also, that the push towards specialization at a younger and younger age, which is what's happening with sports, and any parent who's listening has kids who play is most likely aware of this, but that specialization is not in your child's best interest. And I say this was very surprising to me, but there's consensus among all the medical professionals and the experts at every level who study this, that picking one sport and playing it year-round, beginning in elementary school, before adolescence, is harmful and counterproductive.
Hmm.
Another fun fact, medical professionals say we have an epidemic of overuse injuries in this country. And overuse injuries, I should add, are entirely preventable. They're shin splints, stress fractures, the kinds of things that happen from repetitive use. And they're preventable. They shouldn't be happening. They're happening because we're specializing in putting kids in, having them do too much at too young an age and too often.
I just want to check if I got that. So that is a benefit of a kid who's involved in different sports.
Yes.
It's
yes.
A different pressure on the body.
Yes.
They switch. Okay.
Yes. Because, young kids are encouraged and sometimes practically compelled by their league or team to play that sport, whether it's soccer or baseball, year round. It's not just a yep. seasonal thing. And, that isn't helpful to kids. It's not good for kids to be throwing a baseball 11 months of the year.
Yep.
It just isn't.
Got it.
And, it's beneficial. And even the college coaches will say this. They want multi-sport athletes because they learn differently. They're not all used up. If you're just looking at your child's best interest, physically and emotionally, they're better off playing multiple sports. If they're interested in sports at all, and it's okay if they just want to play, by the way. Another fact that I came across that I was surprised by is that there's no scientific evidence that playing sports builds character. Sports are an empty vessel, and what kids learn from them is entirely dependent on the context of the culture of the team and the coach, and also the parents' attitudes toward the sport. So it's not like there's some automatic, virtue that goes with playing sports. Kids can learn rotten things in sports as well as they can learn wonderful things, and shouldn't just assume it's all great.
Yeah.
Another fact I came upon that parents may not know is that there's a professional consensus among sports psychologists that the rates of anxiety and depression among high school athletes has increased, and that they feel more pressure and tension about their sport than they did just 10 or 15 years ago. And this is what's so sad about that is that sports, we know, and exercise are so good for your mental health in moderation, and that they're protective of well-being. The way we're focusing too much on the stakes are so high, and there's too much play, there's too much practice, too many games. It's undermined that sort of healthy link. And here's something I thought many parents don't realize is that research from the Families in Sport Lab at Utah State, which studies youth sports and how it affects all kinds of aspects of family life. They found that the more money parents spend on their kids' sports, the less the child enjoys the sport and the more pressure he or she feels. Mm. So it says, you know, if there's any reason to not only just saving your or preserving your bank account, but it is not in your child, it only takes away from their enjoyment of the sport.
I don't know if I'm putting you on the spot with this question, but it's rolling in my head now.
Okay.
I'm feeling like there ought to be a couple of questions as a parent that I'm asking myself as I'm observing my young athlete, my mm-hmm. child engaged in athletics, some questions that I ought to be asking myself. And I'm wondering if there's a couple of those that pop into your mind. You kind of got me there when you talked about the study showing that kids are finding the psychological pressures.
Yes.
When we know that the exercise from the sport, we know that should be having the opposite effect. So it's kind of like there's must be something I should be asking myself as I'm observing and listening to my young athlete that would help me draw out where they are.
Well, I mean, the most important thing is to, and I have a section of this in the book, is to look at your child, and you need to ask them what they want. The trouble with youth sports now is that it's become so adult-centric. So addressing the needs and wishes and insecurities of parents and coaches, that sometimes the kids are like the last ones being considered. You know, do they enjoy the sport? Do they want to keep playing the sport? Do they want to do something else entirely? Are they feeling like the weight of the world is on them when they go out there at 9 years old and are, you know, at the plate trying to hit a ball? I think it's the children who are being overlooked in all of this in a strange way. And it's so ironic, but it's a reality. I've certainly observed it as a coach, where it's like the kids' interests are sort of an afterthought.
You've really enlightened a learning piece here for me. I'm processing that the idea that sports aren't good or bad; they create the opportunity.
Yes.
So then, the same kid can be engaged in the same activity, but it's having an impact on yes. one than another. So the ability to step back and to focus on the kid,
yes.
and draw that it's not the sport, it's the young person's engagement, what they're getting from it, what they're feeling from it. So we have to be open to listen to kids' story.
Yes, to listen. I mean, and that's so hard, you know. So it's so simple, but it's difficult as a parent. And the current youth sports universe gets parents all wound up and overly invested, and parents lose perspective. And I know I hold myself from this. I understand how easy that is. It's very easy to fall prey to like thinking, blowing it out of proportion. And I think in addition to asking your child and focusing on what they want and listening, it's also important to ask yourself as an adult some questions about, you know, have you lost perspective on this whole thing? And I give a couple examples in the book to assess, have I lost perspective? Well, okay, next time you're at a party and you're meeting new people, how long does it take for you to bring up that your child plays soccer or, you know, lacrosse? And if it's within 5 minutes, you might have a problem, you know?
That's a great example.
Well, also, like, if you're filled with despair at the thought that your child might want to quit, well, maybe that's more about you than about them. So there's just various ways that we parents can work at that. And it's not simple. I think it takes work. It's not just, it's not simple.
Oh, yeah. Awareness always takes work.
Yes.
awareness of myself.
Yeah.
That's even harder than listening to the kids sometimes.
Well, that's right. We don't want to think that it's we who are the problem.
I'm going to go to the title of your book, Taking Back the Game, as the first part. So mm-hmm. I'm guessing you got some thoughts here for parents as to what would it mean to take back the game?
Well, I have a whole section on this. And one in addition to look at your child and all of what that involves, asking questions and putting their interests first, I think it's keeping your family whole and how to keep your family whole, because the youth sports universe is conspiring to separate your family and pluck your daughter and deposit them in a foreign state and take your son or other child and put them somewhere else, and the parents split up or caretakers, whoever, so that the family itself is not a unit anymore. And there are ways to push back against that. And that's what I would call taking back the game, because it's restoring your family and putting sports in their proper perspective. I encourage parents to start later with their kids. Start the organized sports, that is. You don't have to join travel t-ball, which is an actual thing.
It really is. Travel t-ball.
I mean, you know, it's like, I mean, in my community, there is, what is it? It's called U4 pre-academy camp, something like that. Okay, U4 is three-year-olds. You know, three-year-olds do not need to go to soccer camp, you know? And I know that I have been a parent. I know what that's like. You want to get out of the house. It's kind of can be crushing, and everyone else is doing this. So it's like, well, I guess we will too. But it's by no means going to help them athletically. And if you just let them play, get them outside, if you can, if you're around a park and you can, like, you know, pop yourself down on a bench and let them play, just enjoy themselves and figure it out on their own. Sports are not addictive drugs, so just say no. And you don't have to go along with all of the things. And it is hard to resist, especially if you believe or have been led to believe that, you know, it's a sign of your moral worth to do, you know, plug your kids into every conceivable activity to get them ready for, you know, life in the future, to make them prepared for these changing, unknown times. Well, you know, it's okay to say no and keep your family whole. And if you are involved in this stuff, in this world, and many of us are, and I'm not saying you shouldn't, I believe sports are hugely important for kids, and exercise is wonderful and protective. And that's why we need to take it back, because it's valuable. At the same time, you don't have to say, you can push back against some of the craziness. Like, you know, no thanks. We're not going to do that strength session, that extra strength session every Sunday at 9 p.m. No thanks. We don't need to buy the, you know, the mom backpack. I think we'll skip the team dinners here. How about twice a season instead of before every game? I mean, there are ways to kind of resist a little bit without just completely withdrawing.
Great. Well, I said at the start that as a grandparent with two athletes, I was looking forward to this, and you've certainly served it up for me. I appreciate that. Tell folks a little bit about, I'm guessing pretty easy to find your book and how they might follow you and find out more about the work you're doing.
Yes. My book can be found anywhere books are sold, as they say, on Amazon and everywhere else. So it's pretty easy to find or order. I'm on Twitter at Linda Flanagan 2, the number 2. And I hope to have a website up very soon. So I've written a lot. I've written a lot of education stories and some stories on sports.
I'll encourage folks to just put your name in the search engine there. I went looking for you and just found a ton of stuff. So
yeah, well, thank you.
It's great work. Thanks for the work that you're doing. I appreciate it. Thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening. You can subscribe to Steve Barkley Ponders Out Loud on iTunes and Podbean. And please remember to rate and review us on iTunes. I also want to hear what you're pondering. You can find me on Twitter at Steve Barkley, or send me your questions and find my videos and blogs at barkleypd.com.